Good morning to everyone. Good to see everyone here this morning. Good to have you here. Those of you visiting with us, we are glad that you're here. You're an encouragement to us, and we hope that you have been encouraged by the things that we have done thus far. And if you have any questions, please get with us. And in particular with the lesson this morning, I certainly appreciate the engagement of these thoughts that are expressed in scriptures to help us to be pleasing to the Lord. If you have your Bibles, if you will turn to the book of Joshua chapter 18. And it is there that the lesson will be taken as we talk about the authoritative word of God. And that's what we have been doing on this journey and looking on the pages of scriptures and seeing God's authority expressed in various ways, with phrases and words. And as we learn more and more about that authority, God expects for us to submit ourselves to His authority and thereby be what He would have us to be. And if we don't do those things, then we are not pleasing in His sight. And God wants us to be pleasing because He wants us to dwell with Him throughout eternity. And so in our last discussion concerning our journey, we talked about, we talked about the timelessness of God's authority. And in the timelessness of God's authority, what we learned from Caleb, that God made the promise that Caleb and Joshua were the only two that would enter into the promised land because of their faithfulness. And Caleb eventually got the promise and got the land as God had promised, and therefore letting us know that throughout time that God's authority, God's promises, they are timeless as we are faithful to Him. And that's what we saw in the life of Caleb as he continued to carry out God's will. Tonight, or this morning, as we're going to look at Joshua chapter 18, I appreciate Brother Keith reading of those passages. But it's interesting that in these verses, it talks about the division of the land, especially as we'll look at chapters 14 through 19 in particular, talking about the division of the land to Israel, the borders. And so the question is, how does that reveal God's authority when we look at these things? Well, here in chapter 18 and verse 5, verses 1 through 5 here, I want you to notice that statement again that the Lord speaks through Joshua concerning the children of Israel. There seems to have been a hesitancy of them going in and conquering the territory as God had instructed them. And so I want you to notice what God does through Joshua. So Joshua says to the sons of Israel, how long will you put off entering to take possession of the land which the Lord, the God of your fathers, has given you? What is he doing? What is he expressing by pointing this out to them? So I titled the lesson this morning of what Joshua is expressing by asking them this question. When God gives, He expects us to accept it. When He gives, He expects for us to accept what He has given, because what He has given is the best. Throughout scriptures, what we find out about God, that God is the divine giver. He is the ultimate giver. He is the best gift giver. When you look at all the instructions that God has given to the children of Israel, the promises that He's made, He is the ultimate. It is the best. And so God expects for us to accept it. In Genesis chapter 12, verses 6 and 7, that's what God did with Abram. When he promises Abram about the land that is flowing with milk and honey, notice what God says to Abram. Later on, his name is changed to Abraham. And Abraham passed through the land as far as the site of Shechem to the oak of Moreh, where now the Canaanites were in the land at that time. And the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants, I will give this land. And so he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. What are we seeing here? We're seeing that God is the ultimate giver, the divine giver. He is the divine giver of the land, and he promised this to Abram. Here's another passage that God had promised to Israel, and this from stated in Deuteronomy as they are about ready to possess the land. And it says, across the Jordan in the land of Moab, Moses began to explain this law, saying, the Lord our God spoke to us at Horeb, saying, you have stayed long enough at this mountain. Turn and set out on your journey and go to the hill country of the Amorites and to all their neighbors in Arabah and in the hill country, in the lowland, in the Negev by the sea coast, the land of the Canaanites, Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates. See, I have placed the land before you. Go in and take possession of the land, which the Lord swore to give to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and their descendants after them. Do you see what Moses is encouraging the children of Israel to see? That God has made this promise, God has given this to you, then go ahead and take possession. Another phrase might be, seize the day. That's the encouragement that we are seeing from the statement that Joshua has made to the children of Israel. Seize it. Take possession. Accept what God has given. It's yours. And we are to take advantage of that. We are to be grateful for what he has done. We are to see the blessings that he has bestowed upon you. And then also, as we learn from this, us as well. Let's look at another passage to help us to see that God is this divine giver. And when he gives, he expects for us to accept it. In Genesis chapter 1. In Genesis chapter 1, notice verses 28 through 30. Notice when God created the heavens and the earth, and when God created man, notice what he says in reference to man. God blessed them and gave and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Then God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the surface of all the earth, and every tree which is fruit yielding seed, it shall be food for you. Verse 30, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. In Psalms 118, verse 24. In the context of the Psalms, what we see is this stone that God gives, and it's rejected, and it becomes the chief cornerstone. And then notice the phrase that the psalmist expresses there in verse 24. This is the day which the Lord has made. Let's rejoice and be glad in it. Every day that you and I awake is the day that God has given us And he is encouraging us to seize it, to take advantage, to go forth and carry out his will in our lives. So every day that we are alive presents an opportunity for us to serve and glorify God. So when he gives this, he expects for us to accept it and move forward in carrying out his will. This is God's loving kindness being directed towards us. This is the encouragement that is expressed towards every one of us as we awake each day to glorify God, to seize it, to accept it, and move forward. So often we allow ourselves to be burdened down with the problems of the world, and we don't see the opportunity that God has given us in every new day that we awake. Here's another example of God giving and for us to encourage or seize the day. And this example is over in Acts chapter 10. In Acts chapter 10, the situation or the circumstance, this circumstance is where Peter is about to teach Cornelius. Remember, the things that Cornelius did went up as a memorial to God. And so what God is going to do is he's going to send someone, or he tells Cornelius to send for Simon Peter, who will tell him what he needs to do. In the meantime, what God does is he prepares Peter, or gives Peter an opportunity to teach Gentiles. And how does that work? How does that happen? What is the point that you see from these passages? So look at verse 9. It says, on the next day, as they were on their way and approaching the city, Peter went up on the housetop about the sixth hour to pray. But he became hungry and wanted to eat. But while they were making preparation, he fell into a trance. And it says, and he saw the sky open up, and an object like a great sheet coming down, lowered by the four corners of the ground, to the ground. And on it were all kinds of four-footed animals and crawling creatures of the earth and birds of the sky. And a voice came to him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." What was God doing? God was giving him something to eat. Notice Peter's response. But Peter said, "By no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything unholy and unclean." God gave it to him. Peter's rejecting this. And it says it happened again. And a voice came to him the second time. And it says to Peter, "What God has cleansed, no longer consider unholy." What did God do? God was preparing Peter to give him the opportunity to go and teach Gentiles. Gentiles, the word, so that their souls could be saved. And when Peter finally understood this, when he went to the house of Cornelius, there was great rejoicing. Why was there great rejoicing? There was great rejoicing because the household of Cornelius obeyed the gospel. They were baptized. Do you see what's going on? When God gives, he expects for us to accept it because of the blessings that will flow from it. Here's another parable or lesson that was taught by Jesus to help us to further understand that what God gives, we are to accept it. And that's over in Matthew chapter 25, verses 26 and 27. Do you remember the talents that was given to the three people there? One was given several talents, another several. And then there was the one that was given the one talent. And the other two that went out, and what they did is they took advantage of the talents that was given to them. They prospered. And so when the master returns, they are excited. Why are they excited? They are excited because they seize the opportunity that was given to them by their master. But the one that was had the one talent was afraid and buried that talent, did not seize the opportunity with that one talent. Verse 26 tells us how God feels and helps us to understand how God views us when we reject what he gives us and don't accept it. But his master answered, because he says, I was afraid. But his master answered and said to him, you worthless, lazy slave. Did you know that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have put my money in the bank, and on my arrival, I would have received my money back with interest. When God gives us opportunities and we don't accept them, when God gives us the blessings and we don't accept them, that's how he views us. And you can look at the preparation that God has made in the giving and all the things that are designed, and especially when you go back to Joshua and you look at the children of Israel in the giving of the land, God was going to fight their battles for them that they could possess it. So Joshua had to stir them up to seize the day. That's how we see God's authority. God's authority is he provides the best. And we are to be grateful for what he has provided. We are to accept it. He expects that. Because no one can give us no better gift than God. It is God who is the giver. It is God who wants us to accept what he has given. The second thing of when we look at this, going back to Joshua and what we learn, is that God's divine governance of this. We see God giving them the land, and he is encouraging them to go and take possession of it. But then we see God's governance of what he has given. It was God that was determining the boundaries and the borders. God was giving that to them. Some got more than others. But what was given to them, they were to accept. And they were to use to the glory of God and live according to the law that God had given to them. In chapter 14, verses 1 through 5, in dealing with the governance of God, notice, it says, and these are the territories which the sons of Israel inherited in the land of Canaan. And then he talks about Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun and the heads of the fathers and the households of the tribes and the sons of Israel, a portion to them as inheritances. But notice verse 2. By the lot of their inheritance, just as the Lord commanded through Moses for the 9 tribes and the half tribe. As you drop down in reference to the giving of these inheritance, verse 5, and the sons of Israel did exactly as the Lord had commanded Moses, and they divided the land. God was in charge, and they did and divided as God dictated. God was in authority of this. And so when God gave them their portion and set their borders, they were expected to accept that. And as they accepted those things, They were being governed and abiding by God's will. Some great lessons are taught here about God's governing and distribution of things. God gives us according to our abilities. God blesses us. And if we have one talent, when I use talent this time, it's about our abilities. God expects for us to use that. And some of us have many talents. And even if you have one talent, we are to express our abilities and use those things to grow even more. Because it's all about glorifying Him. In this divine governance, we see this in chapter 18 and verse 5 again. And they shall divide it into seven portions. And you shall write a description of the land in seven divisions and bring the descriptions here to me. Then I will cast lots for you here before the Lord our God. You know what that reminds me of? God's governance during the days of the miraculous spiritual gifts. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, during the days of the miraculous spiritual gifts, notice who's in charge of those gifts. As Paul writes to the Corinthian brethren, they thought that these gifts were for them to exalt themselves. That's how far off that they had gotten. No, it was for the building and the edification and the common good of the brethren. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of ministries and the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. They were to accept those gifts. They were to use those gifts in bringing about the unity and the spiritual growth of the brethren. To convey God's will so that individuals could grow and be what God intended for them to be. That's why God was in charge of these things. That's why when they did things and they said things, guided by the Spirit, they said what God wanted them to say. They revealed what God wanted them to reveal. He was in control. And that's a lesson for us. When we examine our God-given abilities that God has given us, remember, the God-given abilities, it's for His glory. And how can we bring that about? By allowing God to control us. By allowing God to guide us in the use of our abilities. That's how we end up pleasing the Lord. That's how we end up glorifying. That's how we end up edifying one another. And so throughout the scriptures, this is exactly what you're seeing. God giving and God governing, directing us of how we ought to be, say. The Ecclesiastes writer says this over in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. There is an appointed time for everything, and there is a time for every matter under heaven. There is a time to give birth and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot what is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to throw stones and a time to gather stones. A time to embrace and a time to shun embracing. A time to search and the time to give up as lost. Pause for a moment. Think about that. There's a time to search and a time to give up as lost. We need wisdom. We need God's guidance to help us to make that distinction. There are things in this world that are not worth it. And there are the most important things in this world that requires our undivided attention. Most importantly, the Word of God, His will. A time to keep and a time to throw away. That's one of the lessons I have to learn. There's some things I need to throw away. A time to tear apart and a time to sew together. A time to be silent and a time to speak. You're going to encounter situations with the abilities that we have, and sometimes you will not be able to find the words to say. And it may be wise that you don't. There is that time you need to speak up, and you speak up by the guidance of God putting you in that situation for that to take place. A time to love, a time to hate. A time to love individuals, love the creation of God, and to hate sin and what it does. A time for war. A time for peace. All of those are illustrated in scriptures to help us to see this. The time to go to battle is when we're fighting the forces of Satan and go to war for the souls of mankind, for my brother who is struggling, to go to war and fight for him. He may be gobbled up by sin. Fight the war and bring him out of that, snatch him from the fires. And when he is snatched from the fires, there's that time for peace. Working together, building each other up, and encouraging one another in the faith. So when God gives, He expects us to accept it. And then allow Him to govern you. Israel forgot that. They were given this blessing of the land. Their portions were given by God. And they forgot God. They forgot to allow Him to govern them by the laws that He had given. And it ended up being taken from them. That's the way it is for us as well. Let us not fight God. Let us humbly submit to Him. Let Him govern our lives. I'm sure there may be perhaps some of you who are struggling, trying to figure out what's the best move, or what's the best to do this or do that? But whatever the situation, God gives you the opportunity. He gives you that divine, as the divine giver gives you that opportunity. And we need to be grateful. We need to think our way through it. We need to search out His rules. And as we search out His rules and apply them in our lives, God will guide us because we're being governed by Him. It's for His purpose. It's for His glory. In just a few moments, we're going to be singing the song, I'm Coming Home. There may be some of you who have wandered far from God. The encouragement is to come home. Because what God has done is He's given you the opportunity to be made aware of that, accept it, and then follow those instructions to make your way home. There may be some of you who are on the cusp and haven't gone far enough. God has given you the opportunity to make the step forward. I'm reminded of what happened with the apostle Paul. In Acts chapter 9, we read of his conversion to Christ. Or we read of him going to Damascus as the Lord had directed him after encountering Jesus. And he's praying. And God sends Ananias. And Paul eventually follows the instruction of Ananias, he is baptized. And then to hear Paul say it later on in chapter 22 in verse 16, Paul says he was on the cusp. On the cusp. But it is Ananias who comes in and says, what are you waiting for? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. You might be in that situation. Whatever that situation is, understand that God is giving you the opportunity to make it right. Seize it. Make it right. God is giving you the opportunity to come home. Allow Him to direct you. Allow Him to guide you. If you will, bow with me in a word of prayer. O Lord, our Lord, we recognize that You are the great gift giver. We recognize that You are the one that has provided all that we need. Give us the heart and mind to accept those things that You give us. Help us, Lord, to see those opportunities and to take advantage of it, to seize the day, to glorify Your great and holy name, to praise You as we should, and allow You to direct our steps, to guide us, to govern our thoughts, to govern our way, so that we can be pleasing in Your sight, recognizing Your great and awesome authority, that You are the author of us all. Help us to humbly submit to You to carry out Your will in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Lord has set boundaries. This world, or outside of Christ, here is where we are. We are in the arena of death, condemnation, destruction, and sin. And the only salvation that we can find from that is in Christ Jesus. See, that's the boundary God has set. Because in Christ are all the spiritual blessings. They're not outside of Him, they're in Christ Jesus. That's what God has provided. That's the boundary. In order to gain these blessings of salvation, eternity with God, we have to be in Christ. And the only way that we can get into Christ is by God's instructions. He gives those instructions. God expects for us to accept them. Because there's no other way to obtain these blessings that are in Christ Jesus. Yes, God has provided and given you life. God has given you this day, given you the opportunity to get to where those spiritual blessings are. He's given the instructions by us having put our faith in Christ, repenting of our sins, confessing Jesus as Lord, and then we are to be baptized into Christ. when we are baptized into Christ, we're within the borders that God has set where salvation is found. It will be in no other place than the boundaries that God has set. He has given us Christ Jesus, and he expects for us to accept him. Accept his instructions, accept his ways. That's what it means to accept Christ. That's what it means. It doesn't mean, oh, I accept Christ and then I'm done. No, it means accepting those instructions and following those instructions. And those instructions put us into Christ. And as we are raised up out of that water, we have the spiritual blessings. We have the forgiveness of sins. Our names are enrolled in heaven. We are a new creation. We're being saved as we continue to walk faithfully with him. If we go beyond Christ Jesus, we don't have God. We have to allow him to govern us. And when we do that, we're saying that we recognize that God is in charge and that he is our king. And so this morning, if you're subject to the invitation, take advantage of what God has provided in Christ Jesus and express your gratitude by humbly submitting to his will. And so, my friend, if we can assist you in your obedience to Christ, we encourage you to come and make it known as we stand and sing the song that's indicated.